Barnard.
And I'm Matt Edwards.
What's happening in North Idaho?
All right, first things first, always is our small business shout out, Curry's Plumbing. Tom Curry is the man, and he can install plumbing in your new abode. He can also visit your home to fix your plumbing, and you can find him 208-659-0680. I should have put on my glasses so I could read it correctly. But that's 208-659-0680. He's out of where?
He's out of Coeur d'Alene.
He's out of Coeur d'Alene. So in the greater Coeur d'Alene area.
Yeah, Kootenai County.
Tom Curry, Curry's Plumbing. You can also email him at curriesplumbing@gmail.com. Please focus, people. When your sinks are stopped up, call Tom Curry.
C-U-R-R-Y.
Oh, like the curry.
Like the curry.
Good.
Dang, now I want Indian food. Tom Curry is great.
Excellent.
He'll get your stuff done.
Let's hear the rundown. What are we talking about today?
Oh my gosh, we have a lot to talk about. We have the Coeur d'Alene City Council, the really contentious one, and discussion about invocations. Mm-hmm. We're going to chat about that. We are also going to talk about just U.S. politics in general. We've got some candidates that have popped up here and there. We're also going to talk about those dang pesky Panhandle Patriot Writing Club guys. They just keep getting in the news, whether it's for real items like, you know, books, children's books, or if it's because the news just can't get it right. Who knows? So stick around and find out all the juicy bits.
All right, Aaron, how is your new home?
It's great, actually. It's a little bit farther than we would like. We're still in the county, but we're not just centrally located like we were before.
Right, so it's a bit of a drive to get everywhere.
Everything is basically 20 minutes. It's going to take me at least 20 minutes to get wherever I need to go. But it's fine. We're still moving, and every single day is blending together.
Yeah.
So we still don't have internet at our house.
Oh, my goodness.
We are hoping for Friday afternoon.
All right.
Cross our fingers.
Yes, yes, yes.
But overall, we're just super blessed with everything that's happened. All of the listeners and people who have helped us in every shape and form. Prayers, donations, helping us move, dinners.
Oh, yes. Very good. Yeah. For those who haven't heard the last podcast, Aaron went through the ordeal that her family went through, which was her house catching fire. And everybody's safe. Everybody's fine. But we had to do some relocation.
Quick relocation.
Yeah. Quick relocation. Yeah. So, all right. We'll keep it up. Keep those prayers out there for Aaron and her family. And givesendgo.com/Bernard family.
Yes.
If you want to lend your support.
Thank you.
Yeah. And also it reminds me we always keep forgetting to mention this, but find us, Aaron and I, on social media.
Yes.
Right? So shut quick. Where can we find Aaron?
Facebook.com, Kootenai County Spectator. Telegram is Kootenai County Spectator. Truth Social is Real KC Spectator, right? Because you're real Matt Edwards on Truth Social. Yeah,
right.
So I'm real KC Spectator. And then also Getter, like KC Spectator for everything.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
And I chose real Matt Edwards because there's a lot of Matt Edwards in the world in general. Like there used to be a MattEdwards.com that listed all the Matt Edwards and where they're at. Oh,
really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's still up anymore. I haven't checked it in a while.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, so anytime I try and go grab my name, it's rarely there. But Real Matt Edwards is there, and I've got it on Getter and Truth Social. So follow us there. And we're blowing up. Our phones are blowing up. Let me silence those. And we'll and make sure you connect us because we have lots of fun online.
Oh, yes, we do.
All right. So this first story that we wanted to talk about was the CDA. The Coeur d'Alene City Council had a meeting last night.
Yes.
To go over what? To go over the budget? And what else? What was going on?
And amendments to the invocation policy. So people were up in arms a few weeks ago because the city council wanted to just get rid of invocations altogether, or they were discussing it, or just open it up to anyone under the sun who was, quote unquote, a religious person. So last night they finished the discussion and they came away with a resolution, and they're changing the language of invocations so that anyone in Kootenai County who is a part of a faith-based nonprofit organization or church can apply to do the invocations for the city.
Okay.
The interesting thing, though, is it passed. All of the city council members approved this. It passed. It's going to start in October at the beginning of the next fiscal year. But the interesting thing is that there were already people signed up to do invocations throughout the rest of 2022.
So they're just going to cancel those?
Yeah. They're basically like, too bad, so sad, you can reapply.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
Oh, so what's really interesting about this whole thing is that originally it was, they left the invocations to the experts, to the ministerial association in town. And then that was too much religion for them. So they opened it and people complained, right? So they opened it up to first come, first serve for pastors. And the ministerial association's like, that's okay. They signed up for every spot for the whole year.
Right. First come, first serve.
Yep. And so more complaints.
Right. Because that didn't fly over too
apparently
well.
Not.
Right.
So now they changed it so that anyone can sign up, and then your name is chosen based on lottery.
They pick a name out of a hat?
Yeah, basically.
And then you get to come. Yeah.
Except 1 week out of the year will be offered to the Coeur d'Alene tribe.
Oh.
So the Coeur d'Alene tribe can come into the city and do an invocation for the city.
Okay. Based on whatever their religious belief or whatever they pray to, whatever they want to invoke. Because an invocation, I looked it up, right? An invocation is evoking, right? You're invoking a
spiritual, asking for
you're asking for a higher authority's help.
Yes.
In whatever it is you're doing.
Yes.
And so the idea, the history of the invocation, the tradition of the invocation is that we are asking for a higher power to watch over the proceedings and help us, you know, guide us through and make good decisions about what is going to happen at these particular proceedings. The U.S. Congress does it. The state legislator does it every day, right? They have these invocations. And so the city council does it. And the uproar seems to be not that there's been an overwhelming number of, or that it's been not overwhelming. What's the word? It's been monopolized by one particular faith. Is that the idea? Is that what has gotten people upset?
I believe so.
What is the demographics of the city and the area?
Well, according to Dan Gookin, he ever so righteously stood up last night, well, sat up in his chair straighter, and said, I let them know at the lunch that I went to the other day that the biggest religious organization is LDS.
Ah, right.
And then Catholics.
Okay. In our area.
In our area. Right. Which I don't know if that's true.
Well, I mean,
in our area?
Yeah, what are the Protestants, right?
Well,
Protestants is basically what's not Catholic.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, in the way, I don't know if he was dividing it up by church, because he said that someone at the lunch they went to said that they have the biggest church in the area. And then he's like, well, I got to tell them that the biggest denomination is LDS area.
Well, that's different. Denominations and stuff, but even still,
it was like apples to oranges.
Yeah. Because the person was saying, "Hey, my church has 2,000 attendees or whatever it could be in this denomination. There may be LDS all over the place, right?
Yeah.
But does that mean there's one church? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Has LDS ever been excluded from giving an invocation?
Well, I don't think they're a part of the ministerial
association. They're not part
of
the ministerial association. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Because they have slightly different views. In a different Bible.
Right. Altogether. No, of course. Yeah. So the, I guess the biggest issue that I think, and let's pull this, let's just call it call it what it is. The biggest issue that people are having, at least in the ministerial association, that's a hard word to say, right?
Right.
I don't say it often.
No.
In this association is the fact that should people be invoking
something other than Jesus and God?
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is kind of what got other city councils in trouble is when the Satanists showed up and invoked their deities,
you know what?
Influence over this, over the proceedings.
And more power to the Satanists right now that want to put their name into the lottery, because then it will be on record that the city council will allow Satanists to come in and invoke Satan.
Yeah.
Which will look really, really good for their reelection campaign.
Yeah, right? Like, can you imagine? The optics of that is going to be... I mean, I've seen what happens when other in other areas when that happens.
And yes.
I just don't understand it. So
we still have the opportunity to use our 3-minute public comment time to invoke Jesus and God into the meeting itself.
That's
so
right.
We can always just say, whatever, we don't, you know, we're not going to deal with that. We're just going to say our own prayer over the city council.
And I don't know. I'm trying to play this, the free speech. There's the free speech act, First Amendment aspect. There is the church and state, right? We got to have the separation of church and state. Like, should there be any sort of religion happening in the proceedings of government? That is a debate that happens all the time. And what's usually lost on a lot of folks' arguments is the fact that the argument for the separation between, the wall of separation between church and state isn't so much the theory that there should be zero religion in government, because the government is made up of the people, right?
And the government was founded on religion.
And exactly. And so there is an aspect that says the government shall not control what religions do.
Correct.
Or what the churches can do.
And that's what the original separation of church and state was meant to be.
Right.
In the actual letters itself.
Yeah. 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 It was to say, hey, don't worry about your church and your congregation. Does not have to worry about the state, because we will not involve ourselves in your affairs.
Yes.
And that has played out a lot in recent times when the Catholic Church, was it the Little Sisters of the Poor, who said that they were going to be forced to do something that had to do with Obamacare or some sort of medical.
They were forced to fund.
Fund abortion practices, right?
Birth control. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. You have to have, if you're going to be giving out healthcare, you have to cover birth control.
Correct.
And they were saying, well, we are not against birth. So that would be an example of government telling religious orders what they can and can't do. And that's the separation there.
Yeah, but they like to forget that when they try to tell churches to shut down during viruses,
yeah.
Flus. And what gets me is the city council has a list of preferred vendors for contractors and surveyors, all of that type of stuff for construction. And they made that list of vendors because those are the experts. They were the ones that have been vetted. They know what's going on, and they've worked with them in the past, and so it'll just get done really quickly. Why wouldn't they do that with invocations? Mm. Wouldn't they want to defer to the experts? Mm-hmm. And they have their quote-unquote vendor list in the ministerial association that they've been using for years.
Mm-hmm.
They have their group of experts. And if they say no to the association for the experts on invocations, why shouldn't they say no to their vendor list for contractors?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let everyone apply, not just the select few.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Rules for thee.
Yeah, of course. Well, and then getting back to the CDA tribe, which I have no problem with. I mean, I don't think I have a problem with the CDA tribe, participating in the invocations, right? Especially with, you read the rules earlier. What are the rules of the invocation? Like, what you can't do? You can't disparage another religion. You can't call out political issues, right?
Yes. So I believe these rules were already on the website. So if you went and you signed up already, you would have to abide by these rules. And it's stuff like invocations may contain sectarian language. In other words, the prayer can be specific to a religion, faith, person, etc. Should not seek to proselytize anyone. It should not disparage other faiths, should not threaten those with different beliefs with hell, damnation, or other punishment, should not be politically biased, will not be edited or approved by the city, and invocations should be solemn and respectful in tone.
Right. So even within this, there's this like underlying kind of like social agreement that if you're going to do an invocation, it should be positive.
Correct.
Right. So you're invoking positivity. You're invoking the higher authority to bless the proceedings, right? So that everybody makes good, sound decisions that everybody can abide by.
Yes.
Right. But my issue is like, so why are you carving out 1 week out of the year or at minimum for a specific?
Shouldn't they just be open to submitting their names for the lottery?
Yeah.
Like everyone else?
Yeah. Is this some sort of virtue signaling that they're doing?
Oh, man. I don't know. That opens up a whole new can of worms. But yeah. Yes, it was specifically asked by Dan Gookin if this included 1 week a year specifically set aside for the tribe to be invited to do the invocation.
Right.
I don't know why they were chosen specifically.
So is that part of it now that they are?
I believe so. It was a part of the discussion the motion last night.
So right there with that one act, you just gave preferential treatment to one organization that will be assured it can do the invocation.
So now my conspiracy juices are turning. They're getting crazy. And so why? Why this organization? What discussions have they been having? What's going on in the background?
Yeah. And also, why are you fighting this so hard?
Yeah.
You know, the idea that you make this so, such a big deal. It's like,
well, half of them don't even believe in God.
Yeah.
Some believe that they're smarter than everyone else. And so right. They're too smart to believe in anything like that. And others, you know, maybe not practice it religiously.
I mean, all this does is create division. It's like they're taking a book, they're taking a page out of the Book of Division, right? Which makes me always suspect because I'm onto this, right?
Oh yeah.
Like you create noise over here and distract everybody while you're passing all this other really meaningful things, you know, something that's truly, truly hard hitting and meaningful. So during this discussion last night, what, you know, you're talking about invocations. They were also passing budget items, right?
Yes.
Anything egregious being passed there that nobody was focused on?
Well, what's really interesting is that one of the urban renewal districts is closing, the Lake District, finally after many years. But even with it closing, they're still getting almost $1 million out of it before it closes. $930,000 is what they're getting out of it. And so with all of the higher rates and the more new housing, the new developments that have been going in, they've actually added more of their budget from the urban renewal districts. They've added just, I think, $1.8 million. They've increased their budget. And that's what they were amending last night. But what's also interesting is in the line item for the budget that was amended for this year, not next year's, but this year's budget, mm-hmm. which is, it ends in October.
Okay.
They don't have the sales tax revenue that they receive.
Which is much higher.
Oh, yes.
Than years past.
Gookin actually called that out. He's like, I don't see a line item here for the sales tax. I was just in a meeting, Gookin was in a meeting that morning saying that sales tax revenues were up 10%.
Yeah. Well, that's the rate of inflation right there. You know, you collect more dollars when, especially in the grocery store, right? Eggs, 18 pack of eggs last year was like $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
It's $2.88.
Good Lord.
That's just for the generic eggs. That's not even for like the farm fresh, you know. Vegan style eggs. Can there be vegan eggs? Maybe not vegan eggs.
Free range. Brown eggs.
Yeah, just the free range eggs, you know.
Funny story, going back to CDA 2030, Dan Gookin made a motion to dissolve that organization.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. I saw that listed up there.
Basically, it was, we give them $40,000 every year and we have nothing to show for it. They helped with the comprehensive plan, but that's done. What are they doing with our money?
Right, right.
Kiki Miller's like, yeah, well, they have a new executive director now and we should never... just... We should just let them go another year because things are happening.
They never, this is the thing, everybody. They approve a funding for something and it will never go away.
Yeah.
They will always find a way to repurpose it, to redefine it, give it a new mission and just evolve it. They'll change the name to something else and then it'll just disappear into this big black hole of bureaucracy that needs to continuously get funded and funded and funded. It happens at the city level, the county level, and the state level.
And CDA 2030 is just an organization that people donate to.
Mm.
So it's not actually under the wing of the city council.
No. Yeah.
So the city council donates $40,000 to them a year, and they're the top donor along with Ignite CDA.
Right. And their goal is to create a comprehensive plan of delivering the city into the future with a well-crafted, central planning, designed, what?
Global Reset 2030. I don't know. Those are the words that come to my mind.
Yeah.
But if you notice, those two organizations, the City Council and Ignite CDA, are both using taxpayer money to give to CDA 2030. I know. The money makes me mad.
Yeah.
Next year,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say next year they've cut it back to $35,000.
Okay. All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
We're saving some money.
Right. Well, so here's the interesting. Just so people don't get the wrong impression. I am not, and some people may disagree with me here. I'm not anti-city, right?
Right.
Cities have been around forever. You know what I mean? And cities are a progression of society, right? It's civilization getting together, creating things, making things easier for everybody, making things more connected, you know?
Yes.
And community thrives around cities.
Yep.
The problem that I have with cities as they continue to grow and become bigger and bigger and bigger is that, can you name a city in this country that's over 500,000 people that is not a progressive
wasteland?
Thank you. Because I was going to curse.
No.
Can you? Is there a city that's larger than 500 with 500,000 part minimum? And I say that because, like, I think Spokane is 500,000, you know, and that's the closest city to where we live that's larger than where we are, right? Spokane.
Oh, man, that's tough. I don't think so.
There isn't a city.
I don't know. What do you think? Nashville? Is Nashville a crap hole?
No, it is. It's because they're all skewing this progressive way. You know, everybody that I know that has moved from one big city to the next, you know, every report that I've heard is that they're slowly becoming this or that. I mean, Denver, Seattle, Portland. I mean, those are just in the last 30 years, right? You go back even years before, New York City, Chicago, Miami, like, all these cities turn into, you know, and you can go back in history, Rome, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rome became a wasteland.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted.
Constantinople.
Not wasteland, a
crap hole.
Crap hole. Yes. Thank you. Like, it just, like, and that's, and so to me, it always says, like, okay, so then what is the benefit of a city then? Because all it does is human beings, and this is a much more philosophical discussion. It's like human beings are naturally drawn to just being involved in garbage.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yes.
Have you ever heard of an urban renewal project for a rural area?
Not unless there's a city involved.
Yeah, not unless there's a city involved. Where is the farmland renewal project?
That would be so great.
You know, let's encourage more people to go back out and farm, you know, help these farmers get back up. Now, of course, there's farm aid and all that sort of jazz, but there doesn't seem to be this incentive like there is in cities to create more Portlands and more Seattles and whatever. Look at Boise.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's probably the city that I could say is the least problematic out of all the major cities in the country.
And they have Mayor McLean.
And they have horrible problems. Yeah. And they're just going to keep going that way.
Well, and I have a problem with the city council. I think that there needs to be some sort of statute in the state law that says that Land developers, realtors, anything of that nature cannot be on the city council. I think that there's a conflict of interest there. They are only in it for more growth because then more land developers, you know, they get a bigger cut of the pie.
Yeah.
Not only for the city, but also for themselves, because that's the area that they're in.
Right, right. At the very least, they should be recusing themselves if there's any direct, any directives for there, because, you know, look, we want, what we do want is not career politicians. We do want citizens who are successful. We want all citizens to be successful. And so your industry, personally speaking, I don't think should bar you entirely from being within the public service
sector. Well, you have to be, you can be on the planning and zoning. You have to be a contractor.
Yeah, find an area that you can contribute that doesn't, that removes any of the look of corruption.
Yeah.
And the conflict of interest that you talk about, you know?
Look at Steve Widmer. He was the Coeur d'Alene mayor forever and ever, and he's a realtor.
Right.
And, you know, and his son is a realtor. And they just sold their business, Fort Ground, to the North Idaho College for $1 million.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean,
little things like that. It connects
And we see it at the national level. You know, I mean, how many politicians like Nancy Pelosi or even the Obamas or whoever it is that go into office, you know,
and
with a 6-figure net worth and then come out with a 7 or 8-figure net
worth.
Oh, you
mean like Liz Cheney?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, and can you blame them? You know, I mean, from that sort of primal survival instinct, you know, with when you remove any sort of ethical or moral or
I was going to say there's morals involved.
Yeah.
But if you remove
remove all of that, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, so when you have a city council that says, you know what, screw all your morals and we don't need that here. And then at the same time, they're also voting for their personal interests, then you kind of got to say, okay, well, who is ruling over our land here?
And it goes back to, you have to elect good people for those positions.
100%. And so maybe you say, okay, well, what is it about them that makes them a moral person?
Yeah.
And are they going to operate under good faith? And so it really is up to us to identify who among them, who among you out there is going to represent good values and have good values.
Well, and that's why I skew to the Republican side, is because I go for people that follow the Republican platform, which is actually a very conservative platform if you actually look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, not rhinos, but if you follow the platform itself, those are family values, believe in God, you know, all that stuff. And so I think that's what we need to get back to, is just say, okay, screw you and everything. Let's strip you down to the very basics of your morals and let's ask these questions of you.
Yeah.
So, and that's how you can really tell what a person is like.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, when you elect that person, you have faith in them, because you're like, okay, I believe you're going to be operating from that agenda, rather than a politician being like, elect me. And then they go in there, and even if they believe something or they disagree with something, they're going to vote against it because they have to appeal to their district or they have to appeal to their constituents. Like
that.
I'm sorry. Who voted you? Who voted for you? And why did they vote for you?
The first person who comes to my mind when you just said that was Mary Sousa.
Oh my God.
But, well, that's beyond that. However, going back to city politics, Mayor Jim Hammond said something really interesting last night during a public comment. He said that the public commenter was Dan Bell, and he pointed out that during his campaign, Mayor Jim Hammond went and spoke to the Kootenai County Democrats and was saying all this stuff about how to get rid of Second Amendment rights downtown. And
Hammond spoke to the Democrats about figuring out a ways to remove the Second Amendment right to
for open carry
downtown
because people were scared.
Right. Oh,
anyways,
yes.
So Dan Bell walks away. Mayor Jim Hammond calls him back and says, Dan, I've never spoken to the Democrats.
Okay.
And I went, Oh, hell yes, you have. I just saw the video the other day. So I went back and found it. And I found on the Democrats' website where Jim Hammond was interviewed while he was campaigning. And the Democrats love him.
Okay.
Love, love, love him. So.
So when you say the Democrats, you mean like the Kootenai County
Democrats. You can go to Kootenai.
So this is like another Chris Filio situation.
Yes.
So yeah. It was like he was in the room with all of them.
No,
it was a Zoom call.
No, of course not. It was a Zoom call. They are still doing Zoom calls. Hello.
Oh my gosh. So yes. He called out Dan Bell so Dan Bell came up and said, "You spoke to the Democrats," and then the mayor denied it.
Yes.
And you have the receipts.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
Wow. Why would he do that?
I don't know. Dude, just own up to it. But
it's a nonpartisan race too, right? Isn't the mayor nonpartisan?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But, and he could have used that as an excuse,
yeah.
But Jim Hammond to me is kind of like the local Joe Biden. He's kind of bumbling these days,
yeah,
but that's my opinion.
Mayor Brandon.
Yeah. But it goes back to, if the Democrats like the person who's running for mayor,
right.
Me who skews to the right, following the Republican platform, probably would not vote for him.
Right.
Because he probably do not share the same views and morals that I do.
Right. And so you wouldn't be surprised if he wanted to, you know, get rid of the Second Amendment rights for folks in the city.
He also thinks about this area regionally, including Spokane.
Oh,
he,
I see. Oh,
he
yeah.
uses Spokane. This is a region.
Yeah.
So we want to be good community, a regional.
Oh, he's
community.
A regionalist.
Mm-hmm.
Idaho first guy.
No, that makes me so nervous about pushing towards a transportation system between Coeur d'Alene.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Spokane.
I know there's a lot of folks that are very wary about connecting transportation.
I just want to put it on people's radars.
Yeah, put it on. Yeah, keep it up there. Well, that's interesting. So he's a regionalist. He wants to get rid of the Second Amendment. I'll say this, man, like we said earlier, if you are going to be voting for these people, then you need to understand where their values are. And when they're hiding their values and they're lying or they're pretending to be something that they're not, like, they need to be held accountable and they need to be called out. And going back to your comment about Mary Souza, like, for someone to say, well, I represent all my district. I represent the red and the blue and the middle. And so when I make my votes, I have to make sure that I can appeal to all of them and do something that's fair for all of them. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I'm sorry, but you need to paint with bold colors. If you're a conservative or if you're a communist or whatever you are, you get elected, then you appeal to the people who voted you in.
Correct. Agree.
How is that crazy or extreme?
I don't know.
I mean,
well, in people's mind, God is extreme.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Trump is extreme.
Right. But at the same time, when you are in a community that is voting a certain way,
yeah,
then you either love it or leave it.
Well, and that's so, I completely agree. And that's so funny you said that, because we had another visitor at public comment at the city council meeting.
Oh my God. We got to get into this. Stay tuned.
There's a fire raging all over this world, and it's almost out of control. In its flames many die, and the rest are enslaved behind the wall where the flames onward roll. And I watch.
Okay, let's talk about that, because that fire song just played again.
I love that dang fire song.
So for I don't know if any, you have to let us know. Go to the social media accounts and let us know if you're enjoying the music in between the segments here.
I'm really enjoying it. I laugh every time. They're so spot on. They're perfect.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
All right. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I've been like, I don't know, we're kind of leaning on this. I'm leaning on this one record that I have, which is all this 60s era folk music from a conservative side.
It's great.
Yeah. And, you know, it sounds a little hokey, you know, like it wouldn't be radio. You wouldn't hear it a lot on the radio today. But the fact that there was this counterculture in the 60s that was like, you know, enough with Joan Baez and the lefty stuff coming out of, like, you know, Woody Guthrie or whoever it was, like, we're going to make our conservative folk music, you know, and they did it. And this album is amazing. It's called Freedom is a Hammer. And so you can find it on Spotify and stuff like that.
Yeah, I hope that more people make music like that in the future because it's so great.
Well, nowadays, you know, it's really big in hip hop. You know, Bryson Gray is a fantastic hip hop artist who drops some really awesome songs. I mean, not to go off on this tangent, but like I never got into rap or hip hop because the message was always something that I could not relate to because these were African-American rappers talking about growing up in the ghetto or the hood or just, you know, gang banging and gunslinging or doing, you know, drug slinging or whatever it was. It was like, that was the primary subject matter of rap music.
Yeah.
And even early rap, I didn't grow up in New York City. So, you know, you know, Run DMC was about as much as I listened to, you know? And so, and they were pretty benign, you know, they were pretty casual and stuff, but there were so many great artists that I liked in rap, but I never really got into it because I was just kind of like, I didn't connect to it, but I could appreciate it. Now you got someone like Bryson Gray dropping awesome beats and with great lyrics. It's hilarious. And then on another note, Kanye West, I was never a fan of Kanye West.
Right.
Then he put out his gospel album or his Christian album.
Oh, I never listened to that.
It's so good because he's such a brilliant artist.
Yeah.
But he's talking about God and Jesus and the faith and everything. And it's like, it's an amazing record to listen to. My kids listen to it all the time. It's great. Yeah. Anyway, no, I digress too much. But what did you want to say about it?
The music?
Yeah.
Are we still good? Oh, yeah. No, my 16-year-old daughter is just like a carbon copy of myself. So we listen to everything under the sun, and it's from gangster rap to 50s music to whatever. I love that they have this conservative 60s folk music. I hope that more... She's not musically inclined, though. She just has a really good ear for music. I'm hoping...
She'll be a critic.
Yes, she could be a good critic. My son, however... is glorious, and he listens to all of these types of artists. Sabaton is another one who is very historically metal, and so actually Lucky and my son knew of the artist that you had put in between segments because it was already on their conservative liberty Spotify playlist
they have.
So I guess it is getting out there. I was always a mainstream alt rock type of person.
Oh yeah.
So
no. And
I'm from the 90s.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I listened to all that stuff too, but it's so funny when you stumble upon.
Yeah. I love it. Thanks for doing that. Keep doing that.
All right. Well, stay tuned. There's going to be more. Okay. Maybe we'll try and find a new one to drop at the end of this segment. So, but this segment, we were just about to lead into it. Hit me.
Oh, that's right. So there was an extra special guest at the public comment portion of the city council meeting. And that was this chick named Kaylee Peterson. She walks up. And she said that she's running for U.S. House District 1.
Going for Congress.
U.S. House, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why does that sound familiar? I didn't know her name, but U.S. House District 1. Oh, yeah, that's Russ Fulcher's
Congressman. That's our congressman, Russ
That is
Fulcher.
Our congressman.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting. She said that she was in Coeur d'Alene because she heard, this is a quote, she heard from constituents that they were terrified that somebody's Second Amendment rights infringes on her constituents' safety. So that's why she was in town. That somebody's First Amendment rights infringes on someone's right to live free of harassment.
Wow. First, you said First Amendment. Is that what you meant? First and Second Amendment?
Yeah, she was talking about both because
wow.
She was here on Saturday. She put on a little event. The newspaper said that less than 24 people. So I'm assuming that like 20 people showed up to the courthouse steps for this little event that she was having.
Okay.
And she was terrified. She saw a convoy of vehicles drive by with white nationalist flags. Flags provoking violence, militias, hate groups, Christian nationalists, and they were terrified.
What flags?
I'm assuming
is this the one that was on the FBI list?
Probably.
You know, the Gadsden flag,
yeah.
The Betsy Ross flag.
All of those. Well, this weekend was the Gun D'Alene. Same day.
That's right.
Same time.
Yeah, so that's what it was. Yeah, because folks do their parade down. Mm-hmm. With car parade where they drive through Sherman and hit all the good spots. So yeah, that definitely was happening.
So I wasn't there. I was, I don't even remember where I was this weekend, but yeah. So they were there and they were so terrified that they turned around and rallied and went door knocking to try to get her elected.
Oh, right. Because she's okay. So she's the Democrat nominee.
Yeah.
Against Russ Fulcher.
I didn't say she was Democrat. Could you not tell that she was Democrat?
I just wanted to be sure. Okay. There's a lot of indies still running out there. So I wanted to be sure.
Yeah, I had to look it up. But yeah, she's a Democrat.
She's the Democrat mm-hmm. running against Russ Fulcher in Congressional District 1.
Yes.
Which, if you live in the North, that's you. And if you basically, it's the edge, the western edge of Idaho. It goes from the north all the way down to the south. The western edge is Congressional District 1, and it kind of creeps into the Boise area a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the other half is Congressional District 2, where Mike Simpson, terrible Mike Simpson, is Congressional District 2.
Russ Fulcher is really the only decent politician we have representing Idaho right now in the federal government.
That's right. Of the four that are out there, he's the one that's the most conservative.
Yeah. I'm hoping we get others.
Yeah.
I mean, oh man.
Your boy, your buddy.
My boy, Scott Cleveland.
Yeah, he's running against Mike Crapo, Senate, and that's statewide. So
that's
not
statewide.
Carved up by a district. So he's on the ballot as an independent conservative.
Yes. And because look what happened in the governor race. In the Crapo race, too. You had 1 million people as Republicans mm-hmm. run in the primary, and they all split the vote. And so Crapo got in, of course.
Right.
Well, Scott Cleveland knew that was going to happen. So he's like, all right, I'm a longtime Republican, but I will change my affiliation to independent. That way that we have someone to run against Crapo in the general.
In the general.
Because he knew exactly what was going to happen.
Right. And all he needs is 34% of the vote.
That's it.
Yeah. He gets 34% of the vote. The Democrats vote their 30%.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the folks are in the 30% for Crapo.
And they need all the help they can get in the Senate right now. Crapo is actually on the taxation subcommittees. Mm. And so all of the inflation.
That's right.
Reduction Act BS. You know, it has to go through his committee first.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So he's done a marvelous job of screwing us over.
Yeah.
Marvelous. And we need someone else. Crapo has been in there since the 90s. He needs to go.
Yeah, it's like 30, 40 years.
Yeah, he's been there.
It's incredible. Well, good luck to him. I know he's back up here in the north right now, right?
Yeah, he is. He's here for the North Idaho Fair for the first 5 days. So come in and say hello to him. What is it? Friday through Tuesday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah. So the 19th through Tuesday. He'll have like a booth or something.
Yeah, he does have a booth. There will be other people at the booth for the rest of the time. So come up and, you know, grab some signs, grab some materials, reading materials. And we really need to get Crapo out. He's with the establishment. He's screwing us over. He's part of the reason why inflation is going up, because he's allowed this stuff to happen.
Yeah. Well, good luck to this Cleveland guy. I liked him.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. He's a cool dude, and the strategy is sound. It's the same strategy that Eamon Bundy is trying to
do with
Brad Little. You know, Eamon Bundy was in the Republican primary. He left that to go independent, and all he needs is 34% too. So
yeah.
I have no idea if any of this stuff's going to work. It's incredible.
Oh, we can pray and we can get the word out. We can share it on social media. We can talk to our neighbors. All we need to do is tell 10 friends.
Yeah.
And then they need to tell 10 friends and they need to tell. I mean, that's really what it is. We just need to get the word out there, because really, who likes Crapo?
I don't know.
No one.
Nobody.
Anyway,
what you touched upon right now is it has to be word of mouth, because right now we do not have in this state a fair press. We do not have a fair media.
No. Have you seen the crap that's been coming out of the Boise media?
It's incredible.
Coeur d'Alene Press.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, they're all on the same page, man.
Yeah.
They're all on the same page. They are the Praetorian Guard for the establishment.
Yep.
And to a larger degree, just for the left as well. You know, I mean, the left leaning journalists and outlets will run cover for the establishment Republicans in order to help defeat conservatives. And they will do it all day long. They do it all day, every day, 24/7. They come into your home through the television, through the radio, and through the newspapers and online.
And that's what they do up here, that they vote that way, too, where they specifically register as Republican just to vote in the Republican primary so that they can try to sway the outcome of that primary.
And it works.
It works a lot.
It works a lot.
Yeah.
It works a lot. And so I am on a mission now. I am going to encourage everyone to please, please, please seek out alternative sources of news. Follow Aaron. If you're in the North, follow Aaron on Telegram. Download Telegram, put it on there. Subscribe to her newsletter. Get on Getter and Truth Social and look at the news that's out there. When a fantastic conservative person posts something on Facebook and it is splashed with a fact check mark on it, or this is disinformation or sensitive content, you know, and it's covered up, it makes that person look like they're crazy. And then normal people will look at those posts and see that those flags and all that and just instantly think that these people are crazy.
Yeah.
And who is running Facebook? Why are you still on? You don't have to get off Facebook, but get onto these other areas. There is plenty of other places and sources of information for you to seek out.
Facebook is kind of my crutch, though. It's so hard to leave. Like,
yeah,
I'm not saying
you have to leave.
Yeah, I know,
I'm not saying you have
to
leave. You just also people also have to use these other sources. And just incorporate that. Incorporate it.
I think it's
because you still need it to communicate, right? Because everybody's on there.
That's what it
is. So you have to communicate. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying leave it. By God, don't get banned. You know? Do just continue doing what you're doing, but trying and have we need to have people use these outlets.
I really need to get better at using Truth Social and Getter.
Yeah.
I just wish they would fight each other and one would come out on top and then I can just go over there.
Well, I think what's going to happen is one is going to be more, I don't know, one might be more gossipy, one might be more newsworthy. I don't know what it is. I mean, people had Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I mean, if we're used to being on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and you use one more than the other, then that's just another area. You know, eventually one bought the other, so maybe one will buy out the other. Who knows? One of the things that that you mentioned that I want to use as an example is what happened to the folks that ran Gun Delane, as you mentioned this earlier.
They've been pounded so often by the media.
So the Panhandle Patriots Motorcycle Club, Riding Club,
whatever
they deem themselves, name themselves, held their Gun Delane event, but they kind of centered it around exposing the community. Use the word exposing, trying to inform the community about the books that are in the libraries.
Yes.
That are in the kids sections and in schools. And so they put up a couple of big tents in the park. They had big tables laid out and they had, I don't know, they must've had 100 books out there. I mean, it was just books on books on books and they were all checked out from the library. This was not like, let me buy the books and show everybody. It was, we checked these out from the library. Right. And they flagged all of the objectionable material, you know, whether it was like loosely objective or graphic, like pictures and drawings and illustrations of like inappropriate. I'm just going to say it's inappropriate for children. And all this stuff was not in the teen section. This was in the kids section of the library. Everybody goes to their library. You know your library, right?
Yep.
There's the regular rows of books. There's teen fiction and all that stuff that's usually in the adult part of the library.
Yep.
Then there is the little kiddie section, separate room. It's got like colorful chairs and mats and all this stuff,
it's
right?
It's like through elementary or maybe a little bit of middle school. That's right. How I, you know, differentiate them in my brain.
Yes.
Like that's the elementary area.
Yes. They have everything from board books that are meant for 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds, right? All the way up to like big picture books and then first, second grade reading type books, right? Mm-hmm. And so the news shows up, Channel 4, what is
KXLY? It? KXLY.
I think it was KXLY, yeah. So they showed up to cover the event.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh,
they
my
sent
gosh.
A reporter, this is local ABC News, sent a reporter, and with her camera and everything, and she interviewed Viper, and I forget the other woman's name, but they
Bear?
No, it wasn't Bear, it was another woman. They interviewed her and I think his name started with a P. Anyway, they interviewed her or an M.
Was it Mariana Cochran?
Maybe it was her.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Does that sound like somebody who's on target?
Yes.
Yeah. So they interviewed her and they had all the books out, laid out so you could see. The news report that ran was about how this, quote, suspected hate group or suspected white nationalist supremacy, whatever you want to call it, group was out there calling for a ban on books that were for LGBT people.
Oh my gosh. People, LGBT people.
These were LGBTQ positive books, and these people were out there wanting to ban it. And that was the news article. And he interviewed a bystander who was sitting on the lawn, and gave her opinion, saying, "Oh, I think what they're doing is terrible." They allowed what's her name to say something about why they were out there. Well, there's undercover footage because Viper wears a body cam.
Oh, smart.
And Casey Whalen, who runs North Idaho
Exposed
channel, had his cameras out there running and has footage of them telling the reporter all of the objectionable material.
Oh, my gosh.
So you would think if I was sitting at home watching the news and they said, "Oh, my gosh, look at the books that were in the library."
Wow.
That would cause concern, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. They said, "Look at these people trying to ban books."
Well,
and they never showed what was in the books on television.
What's really funny too is Viper had, you said he had a camera on his chest.
Yeah, you wear a body cam.
You mean it's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah. There. Oh yeah. And he even told her he was recording. He says, "If this conversation doesn't go right, I'm recording it too."
My gosh.
Yeah. That is the thing that people don't realize, that when they sat at home and watched the news and all they saw was these motorcycle people bashing LGBTQ books.
And
they didn't show the facts. They didn't show what was in the books.
And when I say
the real news story,
LGBTQ people, that I consider children different than people. And so, because the children are like the protected class, you have to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
People can make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Children cannot. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I like, and words matter, right? And so when she says banning books for LGBTQ people, oh, hell no.
Yeah. I mean, that was the impression that you get from this news story. And the news story is that these books are in the library. That's what I want people to understand. The news story was that these books are in the library, ready to be checked out, recommended by librarians, and checked out to families. And any kid walking in there can pick up these books and just start reading them. And they have graphic images. They have inappropriate images.
Yeah.
And they have inappropriate, and if you're a reader, there's inappropriate scenarios that are being described. I mean, there is so much objectionable material that should not be around children in a public library. And that is news. That is newsworthy. And that is what I'm trying. I don't know if I'm coming across. That is what I'm trying to convey, is that the news came down to do a news story and they walked away burying the lead. They didn't even mention the lead. They didn't even say a word about the books. And that is, in my mind, ethically criminal to not inform the public of what type of books are in the library that your tax dollars are funding.
That established conspiracy narrative is real. I don't want to ban books.
No.
I think everyone should be allowed to check out whatever books they want. However, those books should not be in the children's section.
Yeah. And that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to be out of the children's section, away from little hands, put into its own special area that the parents can get to.
I mean, I have little kids. I want to be able to go to the library and say, "Yeah, go. The world is your oyster.
Yeah.
Pick a book off the shelf. Just go to town." But I can't do that. They're going to walk over and be like, "Oh, look, Jimmy's a girl," or what? And then you're having that conversation with them.
It reminds
me. Why should I be having that conversation with them?
So.
At 5.
Funny story about that. It reminds me of the time when we were living in Seattle and we had a shop on Capitol Hill. First year we opened, and June came around, Pride Month, and our daughter was 3 or 4 years old at the time, and we were at a stoplight, and a guy wearing a shirt, but he was wearing leather chaps and chains, nothing behind the chaps. So And our daughter saw it in the car. We were driving by, and she's like, why does that man not have pants on and wearing chains? I'm like, oh, this is not a conversation we wanted to have with our three-year-old child. And so it's the same type of conversation. Why are these two people having sex in this book? What is that?
Yeah, why are these two same-sex people? Or sex at all? And in general, it doesn't even have to be homosexual sex. It can be heterosexual.
Yeah.
Why is that in here? Why are we having these conversations?
Yeah, that's...
And look, your example is spot on, because that's life, right? You're going to encounter that. And she's going to see that and ask that question. So you say, okay, is this community the one I need to be in?
Right.
Right. Next, you go to a community where the likelihood of men walking around at a chaplet, whatever you want to call it,
assless chaps, jinx.
Yeah. Is going to be less. So that's why I'm moving to this community.
Yes.
Then now you have to worry about your library. Now you're saying, oh, we're now forcing these books into the library so that kids can stumble upon them. It's completely inappropriate. And again, like you said, we are protecting children. If parents want to have these conversations with their children, they know where to find these books.
Yes.
They can order them. If the library must have these books, they can be moved to a completely different section that's only accessible by adults, so that a parent can go over there and say, I'd like to have this book about Georgie becoming George, so I can talk to my child about it.
Why don't books have the same rating system that movies do? Oh, so that rated R or NC-17 books are in a special section, and you have to get permission if you're at a younger age.
I don't know anymore. I saw that clip of there's a Jurassic Park cartoon on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this?
I haven't seen that.
So it's a cartoon based in the world, the universe of Jurassic Park, right? So it's these kids that are hunting, or they're not hunting dinosaurs, but they're interacting with dinosaurs. I don't know the story. And at the end of one episode, they escape some harrowing ordeal. And the two girls are talking it out. And one of them says, you know, what I was about to say to you earlier when we got distracted by a attacking dinosaur or whatever it was. And she's like, what I was going to say to you earlier. And the other goes, oh, I noticed you were going to say something. What is it that you're going to say? And she's like, well, I was going to say that I like you, but like, I really like you. I like you, like you, you know? And she's like, oh my God, I was hoping you had the same feelings as I do. And this is a children's kids show.
Really?
This is a kids show.
Adult content?
Nope. This is a kids show. And these two girls embrace and make out.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that we as a society have a problem with lying to our children, first of all.
You mean like Santa Claus?
Yeah, yeah, like that. I mean, we did the Santa Claus thing too. But just in general, you know, when something happens and your kid asks about it and you're like, oh, nothing, honey, nothing. It's
right,
fine.
Right, right,
right. I think we're setting them up for failure.
Sure.
think that they can understand things at least a basic level, right? And so, but we as parents get to be the ones to decide what type of information and what level they can understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's right for the library or the city council to decide that these books will be appropriate that our children can check out without us having it first.
Yeah.
I don't want to ban them. I think that they should be put aside in a locked cabin, because anyone can check out those books online, and then the books are just set aside for
someone
to pick up.
That's right.
So who knows?
Yeah. But when they're featured, you know, they do featured books, they push it. It's you're pushing this, and I'll say it, these grooming tactics
that are
just being pushed on our children. It's so sad.
It just makes me sad and sick.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
I guess we can go on forever about this.
Yeah, we can. Okay, we're a little passionate about these. No yelling, but a lot of sadness.
Yeah, a lot of sadness. All right.
All right, we're not sad.
We're not sad, but let's sign off, because we're doing a bad job of saying goodbye to everybody.
I know, it's hard. I like talking with you, and I like talking with everyone else, too.
Yeah, so please follow us on our social media accounts.
Casey Spectator, everything. Just pick a social media and find Casey Spectator.
Yeah, and Real Matt Edwards on all the other ones too. And drop us a note, drop us a line, share the podcast, visit our shout out sponsors, and tell them where you heard it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Then he spied the biggest bear he ever saw. Was about to squeeze the trigger when the bear held up his paw. Wait a minute, Mr. Hunter, here's the modern thing to do. We'll peacefully negotiate.